one that can satisfy you.
Welcome to Knotcast, episode 155.
Holy fuck.
What brings you here? I'm Saverin.
And I'm Shiva.
And we're Knotcast for the time being. Oh, man, I have had a derp week.
Can't say I've had a terribly derp week. I've had a very busy week.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like all the stuff. There's just like nothing really going on right now. And my brain just feels...
Not a lot of class stuff going on?
Yeah, it is getting into stuff that's actually new.
Mm-hmm.
But it's... I chose poorly in this professor. I mean, obviously, I didn't have much choice with professor. But... Like, looking at this dude on ratemyprofessor.com, he's got, like, a 2.5 out of 5.
He shows up and is alive.
Yeah.
One starts, he's just there, may or may not be breathing.
Yeah. It's a pretty... I don't know.
Is his style just bad, or
what? His style's pretty terrible. But you know what? That's not what we're here for today. But hey, tomorrow is October 1st. It's the best month of the year.
Yes.
Kind of.
Well, no.
My favorite time of the year.
One, fall in Texas is awesome. Screw winter, screw summer. Fall and spring are actually really nice times to be in Texas.
It actually feels nice outside again.
Yes.
I went to go get the mail earlier, and I was like, wow, it feels nice outside again.
I don't have to, like, go outside and shrivel on the pavement like a little
pug. Are we sure this is Texas anymore?
No, you got Halloween coming up, and Oklacon, and TRF,
yep.
and...
Yeah, I'm not going to do TRF this year. I'm not feeling it.
I know, but
Oklacon, definitely looking forward to that.
And then I love Halloween, and we've got Halloween coming up. Don't know if anybody will do anything for it, but I always like Halloween.
I'm gonna go sacrifice a baby. What are you talking about?
I usually just leave bowls of candy on my deck and let the kids have it, and usually the mate just eats the rest, which ends up being most of it. We're getting candy for the kids. Yeah, that's it.
I don't think we don't have really any trick-or-treaters at this one, I don't think. This is our second... No. This is our first year at this apartment.
Mm.
Huh. First Halloween.
Well, I live upstairs, so they have to go up the stairs before they'll could mm-hmm. possibly see the basket of candy, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's limited
effort. But no, I'm looking forward to Halloween, and, like, I'm going to actually go out and do Hangman's on the 15th.
Oh, the haunted house.
Yeah. The Hangman's House of Horrors.
Oh, I tried doing one of those. Oh, my God. I scared myself... to death, and I knew it was just people running out and going to grab me.
Ooga, ooga.
And I knew, and I swear, it was half of it was waiting for somebody to do the gotchas that really keyed you up.
I will go forth and giggle at the ghosties, as it were. But yeah, that's looking forward to a good month at least. Hopefully, you know, fall has fell and we're coming on the dark time of the year, and
we'll be changing the clock
chill
soon,
out.
Won't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Sometime soon.
You know.
So, well, after that, you've got Thanksgiving and
Christmas.
lots of extra holidays for the year, and it's this entire
excuses to party
from the end of September all the way through New Year's. It's just you got lots and lots of stuff.
Yep. Things can look up.
I've got a Furry Fiesta announcement.
Gasp.
Furry Fiesta is running a contest this year. It's for our calendar. Basically, any submission that gets submitted is going to be up for voting. Those that make it into the calendar will be eligible to possibly win a free attendance. It's basically staff is going to get together, votes on their favorites, and then winners will be picked from there. So if you'd like to go to Furry Fiesta for free, and you want to have your stuff seen by many, many people.
1,000 plus.
You can, if you'll send your art to conbook@furryfiesta.org. If you go to our website, there's a section on it about the conbook. We're going to have rules, guidelines, and other shenanigans on the details of the contest. So please go there, check it out, read the rules, and become familiar. That should be up within the next couple days. So.
Awesome.
Want to come for free? Enter the contest. Other than that, it's been...
Oh.
It's been a week. What are you doing?
I'm checking a server at someone's behest while you were talking, and I'm getting attacked by skeletons at night. Don't play Minecraft while podcasting, kids. So, yeah.
I mean, I know I'm boring, but jeez.
No. Tessa was like, dude, check the server again. I'm like, fine. Because we're bringing up our Minecraft server again. Once things are kind of smoothing out in Minecraft.
Stop distracting Saverin, send.
All right, so let's get into our emails. We have a lot of emails this week, but a lot of them are really short. We also got a couple of really cool follow-ups, so that's good, too. Why don't you lead us off, Shiva?
Ah, okay.
Pick an email.
Any email?
Well, the one we agree that we'd start with and okay, the way we are going to go.
All right, greetings, Nutcasters. The title is Finding Furry or How My Life Went Odd Places. This week's topic is one I think about from time to time, knowing this is where it all went so very wrong. Let's go back to 1996. When a young and still innocent lion got his first home computer and went online. While I was researching the Bayeux Tapestry, which is about the Battle of Hastings in 1066 and the invasion of England by the Normans. I was using AltaVista search engine, and the third hit down was something called Tapestry's Muck.
Huh. What is that?
I had no idea what it was, but I logged on because I was curious, and boy, did I get a surprise. That's when I learned about this thing called furry, and so I went back to AltaVista to look for more. The first site I landed on was Miiverse Furry Archive.
Wow.
I've always liked stories more than art, and was led to the two authors that really got me into furry. Elf Steinberg's Pender series, and The Family Nas Can by
Brian Antoine.
Antoine? Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. After that, there was no looking back, and I eventually ended up going to cons and stuff and meeting the Notcast crew. There went my sanity. I'm glad we could help. I guess there's my short and rather boring story, and all I could say is beware what you find when searching on stuff on the net. You're mostly saying Arkansas Lion, Rahada. P.S. Shiva, it sounds like you read a fair bit of fantasy and possibly sci-fi. Well, yes, I do. And so I was wondering if you found the Sholin books by Lisa and Norman. Mostly sci-fi, but has Anthro Cats as main characters. P.S. I won't be making it to Oklahoma. Aww. So no mudside delivery. I'll have to wait for Furry Fiesta. Cheers.
Well you'll give us an IOU on that one.
Well,
or UOI. I don't know.
So Lisa and Nora, Norman. Yes, I've read her stuff. It's kind of a cute series, a little bit too Mary Sue. It feels like it's... She's kind of telling the character... The character feels more like a personal story rather than something where the author is more distanced from the main character. It just feels way too... It kind of feels amateur to me. For an Anthro Cat story, C.J. Sherius Chunner, I prefer much more just for a human mixing with Anthro animals. I really love the way CJ handles her stories. But I have read, I think, all of what's been released by Lisanne Norman. I was introduced to it by another local. It's decent.
And I've not read any of those. Whoops.
It's okay.
I am uncultured.
That's okay.
But yeah, I can see how researching the Bayeux Tapestry could get you into some interesting places.
Well, as soon as I saw him research, it's like, oh, no. I know what he was searching on. Then I see, it's like, oh, crap, yes.
It's...
Well, it doesn't help with what Tapestry's main town is like, it's a bayou, it's like Leyu.
I have no idea.
It's very much a take on that.
You know, I played on MUDs way back in the day, but I never played on any of the furry mucks.
I was on Tapestries. I still have my characters on Tapestries. I was on the other day.
Well, I mean, I had a friend of mine who was like, yo, I'm going to show you around. And, like, I was this sweet and innocent, like, 17-year-old. Yeah, I was a red badge going on Taps. See me?
I think I was, like, 18 when I first went on.
And, like, he took me to this creepy fetish place. Because I would read the descriptions and stuff. And I was like... Huh. And then, like, this dude started molesting me, and on text, I was like, this isn't cool. Like, slash homed and basically, it's like,
I'm out of here.
Slash homed, uninstalled, threw the monitor out the window, hit the hard drive with a hammer, called the FBI. I was like, nope.
Well, you're the one that went on Taps as a minor.
Well, I was also just getting introduced to the whole, like, idea of fetishy weird stuff like that. I was like, ugh, no. I am distressingly vanilla, sorry. Well, distressing to some people, I guess.
Oh no, I am an old soul on Tapestries and Furry Muck. Not so much these last couple of years, but yeah, right around 1996, I was going strong on Taps.
Yeah. Alright, so we're going to go on the next email. Yay, emails. This one's just titled The Long, Dark, Deep, Warm Path to Furry. Even if you guys don't read the title of the email, I want people to know if it was slightly risque with an accent on the E. E. Can't trill it. Darn it. Dear Notcast, oh, casters of the Knot, Knotters of Cast and so forth, the doorknob somehow. My path to furry probably started earlier with Redwall. I actually came across some of Bernal stuff before his Bernal. Actually, I forget what he went by, but I found his website and enjoyed his artwork. Yes, that means exactly what you think it means. Pyro.
Fat.
Yeah, I think, you know, Redwall's books, you know, Redwall's probably a good way to do it, I guess.
I've only, like, read the first Redwall book.
It's obviously children's literature with animals as XBs of various people and races. And, very simplistic world. Good for children, not so deep reading for adults.
The closest I came to that was reading Watership Down, and that was a lot darker. I saw the movie, and I read the book both. I like them both, but oh my god, are they dark.
Yeah, Watership Down. It's a children's movie. It's for the kids. Yeah, let's not.
I still get that Bright Eyes song stuck in my head.
Okay.
I'm sure some of our listeners know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's another one of those movies that I've not seen.
Really?
Yeah, I've not seen Watership Down.
Hmm.
I've heard it's grim and dark and dark and grim and very faithful to the series, to the book. And that's great, but...
It's still grim and dark and dark and grim.
Not my flavor.
Okay, let's see, onwards.
To victory.
Rainforest and Artistry. Hello, casters of knots everywhere. So, Rainforest, it was a con I didn't expect to hit this year, because flying from D.C. to Seattle usually requires selling your firstborn. However, since my mate Sparf had a schedule conflict with both Fur Fright and MFF, it was either this con or nothing for the next few months. Also, we've heard that you're a writer or want to be a writer, Rainforest is a con to go to. After some exhaustive research, we were able to secure a flight and shack up with a friend at the con hotel, so RF was on.
Cool.
Friday, we did all the usual registration stuff and exploring the dealer's den, plus Sparf and I dropped off some homemade chocolate chip cookies. Hope Tiernan Zia, the sales corgi, liked them. I surprised Sparf with a badge of his fursona, if it was a My Little Pony, which got a few comments on how cute it was. Any MLP fans out there should go find Mitty on FA and commission a badge from her, their character, or at least buy a pre-made one of their favorite pony, just because Mitty is awesome. And yes, I have one as well, Brohoof. Mitty is going to be at Furry Fiesta.
Cool.
She used to go by the name Touch My Badger. Recently changed over to Mitty. Same person, same cute art style.
People changing names. I mean, God, what's up with that?
So, yes, I'm hoping... She was at the Furry Fiesta last year. She shared a table with Duke. So she'll be back with her own table this year.
I like her stuff. It's pretty cute.
Yes. Yes, it is. Let's see. I did attend most of the writing of panels available at the con, and they were helpful considering my current struggle with learning to write fiction is to come up with decent dialogue and description. Ree-chan had a number of good things to say and knew the right questions to ask the panelists and audience when he was monitoring some of the panels. Mary Loud made for a helpful panelist as well. Then there was Gene Johnson. You know how there's some people who clearly are talented, but they suck at teaching others the same skills they possessed? Yeah, that's her. She would have made a more effective panelist if she didn't try to always dominate the conversation. B, her examples were not always from her books and their universe. Myself and a number of others in the audience are not familiar with her work, so how the hell can we understand her point if that's all she's talking about? Still, I came away from the panel feeling more inspired that maybe I can make a decent writer someday in the future. Let's see. We also sat in on the live recording of Unsheathed. Compeach was watching Hirosaki drink wine from a bucket. What? I'm going to have to ask him about that. It was fun to sit in the live show, though you can tell who's new to listening to the show because they'll ask Kyle and Hirosaki what their creative process is. I'm waiting for those two to just roll their eyes and tell them to listen to episode number whatever it is. I did also ask a question, which should be on their lightning round that gets edited out for some reason. Unless it gets edited out. Let's see. Besides all the writing stuff and making it a working con, there was a time for fun as well. We hung out with old friends and got to enjoy making new ones as well, including finally meeting Atari Otter. We also got to meet Tanny DeReal, who is extremely sweet and one of the first artists I ran across.
Wow.
When I was introduced to the fandom. I love Tanny stuff. It's just...
I do, and I was so actually... cute. She was one of the guests of honor this year, but I didn't think for a second, but like, yeah, she's from Germany, as far as I know. So she came a really long way and probably, like, turned her sleep schedule inside out.
I just love her character's expressions. They're just so cute. By the time Sunday rolled around, I ended up approaching the Fur Planet table, and Tyr looked at me and said, "Okay, between you and Sparf, which of our books do you not own?" I did make a few more acquisitions, but yeah, Sparf and I just about own the entire Fur Planet catalog, which will make for plenty of reading and even more reviewing over the next few weeks. Sunday night, we got to have a home-cooked meal with one of the local furs we had to catch a red-eye back to D.C. Let's see. Unfortunately, my body also decided it would be a great weekend to catch a sinus infection that threatened to turn into a full-blown con crud due to the temperature changes between the hotel, warm, and conference center, cold. NyQuil knocked it out, but it did make for a miserable Monday. Oh well. Rainforest was a worthwhile con, and I'd like to come back in the future, and I know Sparf would as well. Now, a quick note about the topic. Besides Tanny DeReal, I ran across a lot of other blotch art when I got into the fandom. Those two make up a number of my earliest favorites on FA, plus another artist who goes by the name of R-T-H-U-R, Ruther?
Arthur, I think it's pronounced.
Oh, I can see that. He does a lot of scenes involving known cartoon animals, and he's got a good eye for accuracy. From there, it just kind of branched out.
Black, 34.
Yes. Your black and purple Ravens assess Tiger in Maryland, Mangy.
That's cool. I'm glad that someone decided to write in about Rainforest.
It sounds like an awesome con. I'd like to go.
All I've heard, yeah.
It's one that I've kind of been... If I could go, this will be one.
Yeah, I'd like to go. It's just a matter of, going, pretty
money
much.
Money and time and money.
Yeah. And because I love the Pacific Northwest. That area of the country is gorgeous.
I've always wanted to see.
Yep. All right. This one is silly. Very silly. Topic of the email is Bowser Rar. So here's some semi-sweet on-off topic magic for you guys. First off, I wish Fuzz luck and hope for the best for his mother's health. Second, the problem. So, period. There's just no capitalizations. Okay. Second, the problem I had with my family, and he told me whenever he was drunk and offers to flat out reject and apologize. Okay, wait. Hang on.
Repart.
Second, the problem I had with my friend, and he told me that whenever he is drunk and offers to flat out reject and offers, comma, to flat out reject and apologize if he had led me on. To tell the truth, even that's kind of depressing. Such a catch got.
Away. Maybe
catch 22? Oh, got away. But what can you do? I would like to thank you guys for the advice, and if I ever go to a con, I'll give you cookies and cupcakes. Now for some on topic. I found the fandom looking up a porn of Bowser from Mario. And that's when I found Yipstar when I was 13. Before it became so furry and when I learned what a furry was, I knew from that day I was fated to become one. Keep giving that wonderful advice I've listened to for a year now, just catching up from episode 1. I'm at episode 116, but I will catch up. Thanks for everything. Your loyal, still confused, bipolar whiskey, Ember.
Wow, 13 and looking for Bowser porn.
I wasn't looking for porn.
That was my point.
It's like, I was looking for Robin Hood stuff when I was 13, so. And then I found, the Orlando Furry Archive.
And your universe opened.
Yes. Wow, those unicorns are fucking.
Wow.
And they're dudes. That's hot. Wait a minute. I'm 13 and what is this? All right,
so let's see. Winkface is the next one. Hello again, Nutcast. Before I go any further, I'd like to weigh in on the topic. I, too, like the dick and the furry penis. Now that that's out of the way. How do you be good at the stuff? My friends and I are planning on putting out our own podcast. Just for fun, we understand that the potential audience for recording of a couple derpy teen furs is incredibly low. Even though the end result will likely end up resembling someone hitting record midway through a regular conversation, we'd like to try to make it somewhat listenable, humorous, in case some pony accidentally stumbles on it. So what tips can you guys give? How does one become hyper funny like Savern or the lady one? Keep up the good work, Chuck at Sayer.
We're funny. That's great.
I think mostly knowing each other really well.
Yeah. So when you're doing a podcast, you know, making sure that you pick the right co-hosts is really important.
You got to be able to bounce off them.
You got to be able to bounce off each other. And it really helps if you're good friends with them. I mean, this obviously doesn't always work out.
Sometimes it works better than others.
Sometimes
it falls flat on its ass.
For just the dumbest reasons ever. But if you and your bros are going to record a podcast, well, first of all, make sure you have some decent microphones. And by decent, I mean if you have Rock Band for the 360, you have some Logitech USB microphones that you can use to record.
And so they don't sound like they're recording inside a coffee can?
Yeah. They're not the most amazing thing, but they are decent. They're really inexpensive. I mean, you can probably pick up like used mic at like GameStop for $5. Probably. I don't know. And whatever you're going to do a podcast about, first of all, A, be passionate about it. Give a shit about what you're talking about. If you don't give a shit and just doing it for, you know, whatever, you're not going to stick with it. And, I mean, this goes for any podcast. Anything that you take as a hobby or, you know, like this show or anything that you want to talk about on a regular basis for chunks of time, you have to care about it. And it also helps if you're knowledgeable about it. You got to know what you're talking about. You know, have a reference point. It's like, you know, I've been involved with X for 10 years, or I've been doing Y for, you know, since grade school, collecting stamps, you know, whatever.
Don't just start talking about something you know nothing about.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, I was discussing the other day with a friend of mine, and the reason that, you know, we do not cast is that, you know, we speak from experience. I've been with Panther for coming up on 7 years. You've been with your mate for a long time.
Yeah, coming up on 15.
Fuzz and Tyrion have been together 10. You know, we've been there and done that. so we can speak from experience.
We've had the good, we've had the bad. And it's also, we got tired of seeing people just kind of out in the geek fandom flounder because they've maybe not been socialized as kittens as much as others.
And it doesn't matter. I mean, this show could apply equally to any fandom out there.
Yeah, that's why I said geek fandom, not just furry. Yeah,
but, you know, it's just this one happens to be furry, pointed at the furries. But
furry
it's
porn.
Good for pretty much anybody. other than that, you can record using Audacity. It's free. You can get cheap hosting off Libsyn.com. It's like $5 a month, and there's no bandwidth cap. They are, your upload size is pretty limited, like 200 megabytes, but that's 450 megabyte episodes or whatever. So you probably don't have to worry about it. Plus, after the end of the month, your files go into the archive, which doesn't count against your uploads. So you don't have to, like, delete stuff from your archive after it's gone. I've looked into it, you know, just in case for some reason the server ever falls over. But, you know, it's something to look into. Get decent hosting that doesn't force you to stick ads in right off.
Mm. Another tip, editing. If you notice that you happen to stumble, sneeze, cough, you know, that long ramble didn't work at all, and oh my God, why did we say that? Stop a moment, pause, give yourself a space, and then edit that out later.
Yeah.
So, it may seem like it might be one long ramble, but we do make cuts when somebody coughs, sneezes, knocks over a microphone stand, drops a drink.
Usually.
Well,
the most egregious examples of that, yes, we do take care of.
somebody says a racist joke that goes too far.
Yeah. We don't have to worry about that.
So, yes.
Yeah. So, there you go. How do you become funny? Well,
editing.
Enjoy your humor. Immerse yourself in the wide, wide world of humor and comedy, and maybe it'll rub off on you. But, don't let it roll off on you because you are underage. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So you read that one, right?
Yes.
Okay. Another couple things. Let me go back. Okay. So that. All right. I think this is a follow-up to an email that we haven't read yet. So it's like,
I don't see him further down the list.
Really? Okay. It's time. This is an email that, you know, is lost in time. This was actually sent for, like, episode 5, but it just now arrived. No, I don't know. Hi, I sent another email to you guys, but forgot these things on my email. I wrote them when my brain wasn't functioning correctly because it was around midnight.
Who did you send it to because it wasn't us?
I don't know. First, I'm so sorry for what's going on with Fuzz and his mother. Yeah, that's, if you follow his Twitter, his mom's on the way out. It's really sad.
They originally thought it was going to be 6 months. They took her into hospice care, and it's
just going downhill.
So days, maybe weeks. It's almost,
yeah.
It's yeah.
Tieran was like, "I'm getting the fuck out of town tonight. Sorry."
So
my plans are to go be with my mother-in-law. So.
So yeah, that's, he needs all the love he can get.
Yeah,
man.
I don't know what it's like for something to happen to a parent, but prayers with him. Just please give him my condolences. Second, my vote for sexiest voice has to go to Saverin. Very close second would have to be Shiva.
I'm glad you have a choice of your two favorites, because this is all we got.
But you guys all have great voices. Thanks for the advice you all gave in my previous email. At the time, it went by Keto Wolf. Okay.
Okay.
And my girlfriend and I are still going strong, and we're still having wow dates, though right around this time they consist of our characters getting drunk off their asses and seeing pink Alex with Brewfest going on and all. Keita Hempcrow. Brewfest.
I like Brewfest.
I got that RAM the first year.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to do. But I got that RAM on my mage. And everyone's like, so jelly.
And I've gotten on most of mine now, but it's taken a couple years.
Yeah. So that was like the go-to mount I had for ground mount when you couldn't fly in the old world.
Well, they look neat.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I'm a ram. I'm a blood elf. Look at me.
Wink, 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 wink.
Yep.
All right.
It's like a little compact car.
Let's see. Next one, Changes Over Time.
Ah, yes, this one.
By Jinto the Dingo. I just like that name combination. At least it's not Jingo the Dingo. Anywho. Dear Not Cast Crew, I've been a listener of your show since right before... Fuck.
It's okay. Since fuck.
Arsh. I've been a listener of your show since right back at the beginning. I think I joined in around episode 7 when it was still practical to go through your episode backlog. Yeah, at 7 it wouldn't take you very much time. Over the years, I've noticed a shift away from the gratuitous talk of furry porn, fetishes, and Zeta toys towards a show that more focuses on serious relationship issues, cons, and other stuff relevant to furry culture. Listening to episode 154 today, I heard Saverin tell Ryder to avoid introducing his friends, the potential furry, to the porny side of the fandom. I agree with Saverin, but it made me wonder about a couple things. Firstly, as you guys have spent more time in the fandom, have you come to dislike smut and porn that permeates it? Or do you still go in for all that smutty goodness but don't want to give it too much publicity? My second question is, now that you're famous podcasters, smiley wink, do you feel compelled to keep your more intimate info off the air? I remember you all discussing lots of personal things about yourselves when the show began, fetishes, etc. But that doesn't seem to happen so much these days. These aren't complaints, just things I've been wondering. Still loving a show after all these years, the Melborian Dingo Jinto. P.S. Hang in there, Fuzz.
And don't read the bottom bit.
Yeah.
Because we like to play nice.
So, I think in part is we've gone over all of our kinks and, interests so many times. It's, you kind of... You like talking about yourself, but you don't feel like banging the drum so many over and over and over again.
Well, this email actually brings up something that I've been wanting to talk about, but didn't really have an angle to do so. So thank you for sending this email, Jinto. When it comes to the gratuitous talk of the furry porn fetishes and Zeta toys, well, honestly, it's, to me, obviously, it's just... kind of old hat. I've been involved with the furry fandom for over half my life, which is really kind of sad when you think about it. I found the furry fandom at age 13 via AOL on a 288 modem, and I'm 28 now. So I've been involved and around this for a really long time. And honestly, I don't so much dislike the smut. I mean, I think it's a bit overdone. I mean, really? Overdone. But you get tired of it after a while. You know, when you've seen it and seen it and seen it, it doesn't really have an interest. Like, oh, look, it's a naked otter chick. Oh, look, that dog guy is boning that other dog guy. Huh. It doesn't really have the interest that it used to.
The spark.
But even then, it's like... It feels that so much, and this is gonna be controversial... that without a central focus for the fandom, it went the path of least resistance and went straight to porn. And there's really not any really good publicly acceptable positive growth angles off of that.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. Thing is, I still really, really, really like the smut. If you go to my FA and you look at what I've got up, you know, I don't shy away from the artists that do smut stuff. My only thing is that they have to be good. I don't look at shitty smut. But I just want good art. It doesn't matter if it's smut. It doesn't matter if it's PG. So long as it's quality, I don't shy away from it. And to be honest, there's lots and lots of good smut artists out there. They do good stuff, too. But... I don't know. I'm not tired of the smut because I'm not tired of good art. And unfortunately, that's what you'll see in a lot of stuff. But then again, I'll go on DA and find all kinds of things.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, I'm with you on the artistry part. There are some really good artists in the fandom. And while I don't really save, like, the porny stuff, I can appreciate... news.
Dude, if you looked at my hard drive, it looked like it belongs to a 12-year-old boy. It's mostly full of tits and boobs.
And that's fine. I mean, I can appreciate good art, but then it's just like, I mean, I noticed for a while there's just like 350 submissions. Nothing interesting, nothing interesting, nothing interesting. Oh, that one's interesting. Open it. Oh, I guess not. And so, like, I go through several hundred submissions and download three files. You know, it's like I'd gotten so picky and it just wasn't interesting as much for me. I mean, I do most of my, I do a lot more stuff on DA nowadays. I mean, after the whole pony fiasco on FA, I was kind of like, Christ, I'm just done with this website. That was just monumentally stupid all over the place.
It was a lot, way too pushy on the admin's part, and people way the fuck overreacted.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is about my looking at, I mean, I log in maybe once a week and clear my faves on FA, and I'll go through and I might save one or two things off my page. I do have a kind of, it's my own personal thing, it's right or wrong, whatever the hell you want to call it. If I save it to my hard drive, I just have a policy to favorite it, because that's just my way of saying, you are good enough that I want to remember you. I saved it. I want to give you a thumbs up. So that's just...
But...
My own thing.
Getting back off our soapboxes, I guess. As for the whole not introducing your friend to the porny side of the fandom, well, think about it. If you're going to introduce somebody into a group, you don't want to throw... Like, imagine the fandom as a pool. I know that's kind of a gross thought when you think about it for more than half a second. But think about it as a pool. You test the waters, you check it out, and then if you want to, you can explore it further. Going, oh, you might be interested in dog people? Here, let me show you this blotch pic of, like, seven dingoes fucking. While he can probably appreciate the artistry of such a pic, he might be a little turned off by the fact that it's seven dingoes fucking. I don't know if she has a pic like that. I know she has, like, one of Huskies. But anyways, it might turn him off to the fandom.
He might make him go, ooh.
Might make him go, wow, this is what my friend wants to show me as a good example of the fandom.
Yeah, I kind of do recommend show him the tame spot. If you look, tame stuff. If he looks around at all, he's going to find porn on his own. So unless you're in the kind of relationship where it's okay to just show your friend porn of anything, whether it's furry or other stuff, you know, if you guys aren't swapping Playboys or what have you, it's probably not a good idea to show them the porn. Let him find the porn on his own, where it might be more comfortable for him to suddenly string a boner.
Yeah. So that was the reasoning behind my statement there. But yeah, as you know, we've been podcasting for a long time. Personal info. We still talk about our personal stuff from time to time. We talk about our daily lives quite a bit. We talk about the stuff that we're doing, where, you know, stuff that's coming up in our life, the good and the bad. When it comes to, like, fetishy stuff, well, we've talked about that a lot.
As far as me, I'm in a room full of usually gay dudes. I don't really know how much they want to actually hear about the girly stuff. So I kind of keep it tame. That, and I just got out of a relationship where my mate at that point wasn't really comfortable with me sharing too many details. Well, that's over, so I'm not quite as restricted.
Inhibited.
So
yeah.
It's just circumstances. Nothing against it, just various things outside of myself that caused it not to happen.
Yeah. So, thank you, Jinto, for writing this email to letting us, giving us a soapbox to sort of pontificate for a little bit.
And hopefully we didn't bore people too much.
Yeah. I'm sure people will write in about it. Or not. We'll see. Onward to the next email.
Let's see. Let me refresh.
Ah, yes. This one.
Oh, good. This one. How many does that make?
That would leave us with 9 after this one.
So this one and then break?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. It's your turn.
Oh. Duh. I'm a professional, see? A loose follow-up. This is another yay follow-up email. Greetings, Notcasters. Off topic again, I just wanted to write back and thank you for reading my dilemma last week and for the advice. I had a very long talk with my mate about things and we took your advice and I got things looked at. I just got back from day surgery and it'll be a couple uncomfortable weeks before the stitches are removed, but according to the doctor, the damage is only minor and it should heal completely. I do have a question, though. Despite my mention of it in my last email, I don't currently live in St. Louis. We're in Cleveland, but I used to live in St. Louis, I guess. I'm planning on going to CLAW, Cleveland Leather Awareness Weekend, next year, and I'm curious about the crew's view on puppy play. Just curious. Thanks again, Jonathan Fox. For a reminder, this was a young gentleman who went zero to naught in ow seconds on a Zeta toy.
And damaged
and
things.
Hurt himself. Thankfully, he is young and springy in places.
And healed.
Yeah, so now he won't crap himself when he's 60.
Puppy play?
Whatever floats your boat, dude.
Puppy play is eh. I do like pony play. Not particularly one to participate, but I like the aesthetics of it.
Leather, saddle, bridles, oh my.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Are you getting, oh god, Rainbow Dash pony play?
No, that's not what I was thinking about.
Are you sure?
Yes. I'll explain later. Just not on the show. All right, so we're going to go take a music break.
Wrong kind of pony play.
Yes, in fact, that is the wrong kind of pony play. Thank you, Shiva. No, that's not what we're talking about at all. Why are you so bad? On that note, we're going to take a break. I don't know what song it is. You're going to find out. It's a surprise. That was Hydro Funk by Will Rock, a Sonic 3 OC remix. Sounds really porny. You know what else is really porny? AdamEve.com. However, there is an email we got this week saying that somebody, they live in Tennessee, and Adam and Eve won't ship fuck tapes there either. They will ship the dongs, yay butt plugs, but no porn videos in Tennessee? Are you in the fucking dark ages? Or maybe they're protecting you because there's all this porn on the internet?
No, it's because of things like this week's gift. This week's item, because some people need to be protected against this. It's a triple pack. It's three parody DVDs. It's from AdamandEve.com, and it's a triple pack of The True, which is a True Blood spoof featuring Bill, Sookie, and a whole bunch of others. It's got The Entourage and Sex Files, where actually the gal on the cover does look remarkably like Scully. I mean, like, freakishly so. So, yes, there's bad porn spoofs that they're trying to protect you from.
They might be good.
Well, they might be, but they're generally not. Their price for all three is $29.95, but with our coupon code NOT, K-N-O-T, you get 50% off. You get three more fuck tapes, so you'll get a grand total of six. A mystery gift, which has been everything from lube to, like, little bullet vibrators, all kinds of other stuff. And free shipping within the continental U.S. Is that everything?
I think so.
That's plenty. So that for $15, you get six porn DVDs, a gift, free shipping.
I bet you can fap to that.
So I'm sorry that this wasn't useful to this week's writer, but it's for your own good. They're protecting you.
Anyway, dark ages.
I know.
All right, so Confused Virgin, it's an email. Go forth and read.
Oh, okay. All right, Confused Virgin. Dear naughty Time Lords and you big blue fox of intelligence, it's been a while since I've written in, but that's because I've been forcefully retired from the military. Sad face.
Aw.
Oh, but I did not write in to tell you about how military life sucks and how much butthurt airmen can get. I actually wrote in because I have a conundrum. You see, even though I've slept with females and one male, I have yet to be the sub in a relationship. Well, my ex-boyfriend and my ex-master, we'll call them B&D, have recently been taking a liking towards one another and have admitted that they both still have feelings for me, and then I have feelings for them as well. Last night they wanted to show how much they like me and basically teased me and then, well, played with me, for lack of a better word. Sadly, I couldn't ejaculate. Neither could B or D. We couldn't understand it. I mean, when it's them individually wanting to play, I'm usually very comfortable. But both of them at the same time, I felt kind of nervous, especially when D said he wanted my virgin tail. After he said that, I kind of got a little scared, and I don't know why. I mean, I want to try being a sub, and I do trust them. So, naughty ones, I was curious if he had any tips about how to get over my fears and nervousness around these two boys. Love, Big Bunny, a.k.a. Captain Conaway Rabbit, the Benevolent Rabbit of the Sea. P.S. Exterminate. P.P.S. More first need to play D&D. I am not a baby bunny. Okay.
Are you sure? Okay. So, let's think about this for half a second. Your first time, two dudes at the same time, never been sub, probably haven't been stuffing things up your butt.
Yeah, they said it was virgin butt, so...
So, you were perfectly, perfectly normal to be nervous. Being online is all well and good, but until you're actually in the situation, you don't know how you're going to react. And I'm going to guess that all three of y'all are still feeling kind of awkward, because... Obviously, three is an odd number. It makes it very hard sometimes to communicate what you're going to do in bed. So it's really not that surprising that you couldn't get off the first time around. What I would suggest is spend some time. I don't know if this is going to work or not. But it's like, I'd say spending time with both of them and then them spending time with each other to kind of get used to the other person being there and then reconvene as a trio later on. Because really, you know, this threesomes and stuff can be pretty awkward first time around.
It's just practice makes perfect. Get together, play. Don't take it too seriously. Don't worry about, you know, taking it all away that first night. It's pretty much, it's going to take them getting used to each other, them getting used to you, you not
clamming up, as it were.
Clamming up. It's just, take it light, take it easy, try to laugh, try to relax. And it's just going to take time, maybe a couple sessions before you work up to taking something under the tail. I mean, it's perfectly normal, even if it was on a one-on-one situation, to get nervous the first time you do that. So don't worry about that.
I mean, it seems like basically they put you in a situation where they didn't really lay out what the expectations were. We're going to play and I'm going to fuck you. Well, that doesn't really help. First time is a time for with you need prep time like Batman does. And Batman needs prep time for fucking people in the ass.
Yeah. So, plus, it's you know, are you going to be a sub to one, to both of them? Is it your ex-master going to go back to being your master and control the situation? Or, yeah. You know.
There are many variables in the situation.
Yes.
So, I mean, that makes sense, right?
It does to me, but yeah.
So, yeah. It is normal for first-time stuff to go weird.
All right, so
congratulations, you are normal. Onward to victory. This is another one of those... I'm 12, and what is this? It's been all too long, casters of the knot. I remember when I was a wee child looking up innocent pictures of Disney's Robin Hood. I know, cliché, but what I found was anything but innocent. I found glorious amounts of foxy porn. Oh boy, did that entertain me for the night. And led me to research about the fandom. I didn't know all about the artists who did those pictures, but I know one of them was done by Zen. Later on, when I was already in the fandom, a bit more of a lurker, I was introduced to Inuki, an artist who I have continued to love to this day. The artists, however, have led me to dive further into the fandom as Easy Wolf, Cal Gold, and the most amazing casters of Notcast. Insert smiley face here. Oh, and shout out to Fuzz, who I met at RMFC. It was great. Also, if you guys give a little shout out to the podcast that me and my roommates started, that would be amazing. The show is For What It's Worth, forwhatitsworth.com, and aims to introduce the fandom to newcomers. Thanks, guys. Love you, and keep podcasting. Elias Saphir.
That's a nice little
podcasts. The fandom always needs more quality podcasts.
Let's see.
Finding
the fandom.
I shouldn't be yawning. It's only like 9:20.
Yeah, it's not that late.
I'm old.
You're not. Finding the fandom. Hey guys, wow, I'm ready in 2 weeks in a row. Did hell freeze over or something? Anyways, I've been waiting for the topic of how you found the fandom to come up after alluding to it a bit in one of my earlier letters a while back. I mentioned how I had CSI's Fear and Loathing episode to thank for that, and I'm guessing you'd like to hear the rest of the story. Oh my god, I handle furry fiestas out random. Ask us a question email address, so I just field and route all kinds of stuff. So many times I've received emails about, are you anything like on CSI? Oh, God. So, anyhow, back to the email. Starting a while before the episode was even on the drawing board, I found a furry art back in the early days of peer-to-peer file sharing like Kazaa. I don't remember what it was I was searching around for, but I remember back then you would get a lot of pics that would have the wrong search tags in them. That's how I happened to found upon my first furry pic, a naughty one at that, and after looking at the tags associated with it and finding similar art, I now have a name. At the time, I just only knew it, of it as a type of art and nothing more. Well, other than I really liked it, I had never seen anything like it before. Let's see. Fast forward a couple years, and that CSI episode came out, and I was like, you mean it's not just an art form? Being reasonable, I knew it was hyped up and over-sexualized for ratings, but it planted the seed that told me that there was more to furry than meets the eye. Fast forward another year or two, and I was going through an emotionally tough divorce. Without getting into the details, I eventually decided I needed a hobby. One night, looking through my gift folder, that CSI episode popped in my head, and I got curious. I don't want to know what made it pop up, but when it did, I started the hunt to find out about this strange thing called furry. The more I read, the more I was hooked. While the origins of the discovery were decidedly adult, I found myself very drawn to the family-friendly aspects of it as well. The rest, as they say, is history. I now have the fandom to thank for even eventually finding my current mate of 3 years, who I'm now engaged to. Go me.
Smiley face.
The Midwest Trucking Fox, Noray Mooncat.
Cool. That CSI episode. That fucking CSI episode.
Yes, and the Vanity Fair.
See, what's great is that I was going to say that there are probably a lot of furs nowadays that don't really... They weren't involved during the CSI thing.
Oh, the drama shitstorm hit when that happened.
Well, I mean, there's been no end of the occasional drama shitstorm hitting the fandom in some form or another.
Mm-hmm.
But that one was kind of a big deal, because supposedly there was, like, fur suitors that had, you know, worked with...
Collaborators.
Yeah. Collaborator scum. Hitting... I turn in my chair... And I kick the little air release, and I fall a foot and freak myself out. God, I hate when I do that.
Anywho.
So, yeah. Yay. Stuff and things. Onward. Okay. Hello, you not-slingers. Throwing them around like nothing. The first time I saw furry art was a while ago. I'd invited one of my friends over to hang out and watch this anime I've been watching, Claymore, with me.
I like Claymore. It was good.
After talking some, he showed me his iPod and all the art on it. That was the first time I'd heard about furry, and I was kind of hooked ever since. The artists really caught my eye were Blotch and New Dog. Their art was the most appealing to me, so whatever he showed me his collection, I always had a special eye for anything by those two. About a year after that stuff, figured I was furry and I haven't looked back. Kiko, that beagle that lives by Puget Sound. Is it Puget?
I think it is.
Okay.
Puget or Puget?
Yeah. That's kind of an odd combo, though. Blotch and New Dog.
I don't know New Dog.
New Dog does lots of little hyper-muscly stuff with massive, massive penises.
Oh, my.
If you've been into the Hall of Pornography at Pheasantirons... that's a lot
not
of the...
to go into the Hall of Pornography.
Okay, I was
going to
say, if you've seen the Hall of Pornography, that's what a bunch of tears stuff is. Is New Dog.
Okay, that guy. All right. Okay, let's see.
A lot of his high school days stuff.
Years and years and years and years. Okay, so, and the days go by.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it sounds like part of a song. Either that or, like, an opening for a soap opera. So what was the first artist that led me to the fandom? One letter and one number. K9. I found his artwork on the Temple of Luna, a long-dead werewolf site. I remember that. It was actually the first time I'd seen erotic artwork, period. I loved what I saw and wanted more. I clicked on a few links on his old site and eventually found my way over to Jessica Willard's place. I still have a crush on Falstaff. And then eventually to Fur Nation, where I found Wookiee. Those were the big three that got me into the fandom. However, I'm quick to point out that I was pretty much a fur beforehand. I just didn't know that there were other folks out there as well, and that there was a name for said people. That being said, I also have to give a lot to Lou Schneimer. Does that name ring a bell to any of you? Think old school cartoons. Still no guess? Lou was one of the creative minds and executive producers behind Brave Star. Thus, he is a man that gave me 30-30 at a young age. For those of you that ain't as old as I am, 3030 was an anthropomorphic, cybernetic equine space cowboy that had a sexy, deep voice. In other words, the perfect subject for a few Rule 34 fantasies, if you think like me, anyways. Thanks to F.A., I now know that I wasn't the only little boy who watched him back in 87 and thought he was hot. Your digital cowboy, Tiptoe the Rat.
Yeah.
Yes, I have seen more than a few 3030.
Then again, you know, you also had Thundercats run those M too, and mm-hmm. I bet there's more than a few people that thought Chitara.
Oh, no, not Chitara.
Not
surely.
Chitara, not at all. So I say to the person who's wearing a Thundercats t-shirt.
Well, it's a Woot shirt, but yeah.
It's a Woot shirt that's Thundercats.
Well, yes.
And I know that I have sent you some current Thundercats Rule 34 that you are most pleased with.
Yes. Let's see. Next
one. Next email. We're near the end. Oh,
good.
My God.
You get the long one this time.
Yep. And we're still over an hour. Goodness me. Furries packing heat. Greetings, oh naughty ones. I'm a relatively new listener working his way up through the archives. I'm at 36 now, and I started about a week and a half ago. As you can tell, I've got a long way to go, so consider this email from the distant past of 2009. Well, let's see if you make it up here before 2012. Before I get to the meat of my email, I figured I'd let you know that a regular telefucking by the Notcast Mindcock has had an effect on my subconscious. The other day, while working in my tedious factory job, the Notcast entry music popped into my head and wouldn't go away. I couldn't place where I heard it from before, and it bugged me all day until I listened to your podcast on the way home in the car and abruptly remembered. I'd say I've been listening to your podcast too much, but you know how hard it is for addicts to admit there's a problem. Anyways, I was wondering if you could get your opinion on a possibly controversial topic. Considering that gays and furries are both commonly prey of the North American ignorant redneck, and sometimes altercation can be dangerous, what do you think of the possibilities of furries, especially the more flamboyant of us, getting concealed carry permits and carrying firearms for protection? I'm turning 21 soon, even though I'm not openly furry and hardly anyone knows I'm bi. I plan on getting my permit just in case I'm ever the victim of an armed robbery, assault, etc. Seems to me that if you're going... were of a group that was likely to get target of bigotry and violence, you would be even more likely to need a weapon for defense. Please keep in mind that most defensive use of firearms don't involve shooting, since most aggressors are sufficiently deterred by staring down the barrel of a gun. I know that most furries tend to lean towards the liberal side of the political spectrum pretty strongly, so are inclined to be against firearms on principle. All the same, consider that you have no control over whether or not the attacker will be armed, but you can make sure you can at least stand on equal footing. Thanks for reading, and I think for making an awesome podcast and to help me get through the day. Branth the Dragon from Cornhell, a.k.a. Northeast Iowa. P.S. If the debate about sexiest voice is still raging, let me cast my vote and say that Saffron has the sexiest voice of the podcast, closely followed by Sarah's bass rumble from when he was a guest a few times. I guess British accents just sound too prim and proper for me to think they're sexy in a guy. So, guns.
Now, I'm about as liberal as you're going to find, and I'm not from Texas, so it's not being Texan pew-pew. I'm actually really... I have nothing against firearms. I'm actually really pro-education and pro, you know, being responsible. But I'm a liberal fag, and I like guns. Just, you know...
And I, too, am quite, you know, liberally inclined, and makes fucking sense, dude. Personally, guns are not something that I make a political thing. I, as a gay man, have a higher possibility of being bashed in some way, shape, or form, and if I'm going to, well, by God, I'm going to bash some other fuckers, too. Now, furry is not a good justification for getting armed. They're not going to go around bashing people with tails. Now, I mean, there can be people that want to cause shit at cons, if people are running around with tails and stuff, but can't carry guns at cons. You get thrown out.
Yes.
But as a gay man, I think the ping pistols are great. I think that gay people should arm themselves. I think that they should know how to properly carry and care for and use a firearm if need be.
Well, wasn't it at Furry Fiesta live show last year where we had a kind of smaller guy who was worried about getting assaulted? And just because he was gay, he was shorter. He wasn't flamboyant about it, but he was still worried he was going to get shit over it. And we advised him to take self-defense classes, you know, to get a concealed carry. Do what you need to do to protect yourself.
You know, so. don't use it to wave it in people's faces, but if it gives you peace of mind, you know, for goodness sake, go and take a concealed handgun course. Learn how to take care of a firearm. Go to a range and practice your...
Yes, by God. It makes sure you take not just the concealed carry one, but all the other education and practice. Make sure that if you're going to need to use it, you know how and what the safe way to do
and
it
you're,
is.
You know, trained enough to know what's downrange of if you're going to shoot, you know? There's a lot of considerations, but I do think it's a good thing for people that are in traditionally victimized groups to have a way of protecting themselves. And in states with concealed carry is a perfectly reasonable method of doing so.
And just be careful. Think long and hard about doing this, because when you start carrying a gun, you start carrying a whole world of responsibility that goes with it.
Yeah.
And when you pull a gun on someone, you have to realize that as soon as you draw it, panic might ensue, and you may have to actually fire the weapon. So you have to be able and willing and being prepared to deal with the consequences of killing someone. So,
or injuring or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So just make sure you think long and hard about
this.
It's
not something to be taken lightly, but I do think it's a reasonable precaution.
Yes, I definitely do. It's just make sure you know what you're getting into.
So consider you have been surprised. Maybe. I don't know.
All right, so next.
Two emails left.
One for each of us, divided up evenly. Oh, crap. Next one's long. Oh, fuck.
Then read the bottom one, and I'll read the long one.
Okay, I'll take the short one. I've already fucked up enough this episode. Episode 155, What Brought You Here? Hello, everyone. Ren is here again. The artist who pointed me in the direction of the fandom would have been either Jane Naylor or Carabiner. I haven't seen much from Carabiner in a long time.
I don't know if they're still doing art, or if they are, they're only posted on, like, Japanese sites.
Yeah, but I remember Carabiner. He did some awesome stuff. He was some of the premier artists that got bandied about, like, FAE, back when that was the main way of sharing art.
Yep.
Let's see. Although I think it may have been Carabiner when I think of whose art I saw first, though Jerry was a really big factor in that equation. As always, keep up the good work, the Tiger of the North, Renis Tora. So yes, both are very big names and have been around a long time.
Now, whether or not you think Jay is crazy or not, he still can draw some pretty decent porn, even if he does occasionally put sandworms on the penises of his characters.
What?
He occasionally draws characters with foreskins on their penises, but they're furries. They have cheese. It just doesn't make sense.
Okay.
But he does some sandworms.
Okay, I hadn't even called people, that before.
People have photoshopped them into like sandworms and stuff. It's hilarious. It just, drawn uncut penis. Eh.
Mm.
Whatever.
Doesn't make sense on a furry to me.
Yeah, exactly. Humans, either way is fine. All right, so final email of the night, and then the dance of our people. Hello, Notcast. I listen every once in a while when I have the chance, and when the topic is something I want to listen to. Well, thank you for your fair weather patronage. I enjoy telling stories and reading the questions. And reading this question, I recall mine. I think it fits in rather nicely to most. The life of a suburban kid in a growing world. Being born in 90 and growing up in the late 90s, early aughts, anime was a mainstay of the night. Being in this environment of anime and cartoons, ideals of what exactly a character was is questioned and changed from the generations prior. As I watched shows from Samurai Jack to Gargoyles to Mummies Alive to Batman Beyond to Beast Wars, at one point or other, all featured characters whom were anthropomorphic. This, coupled with a few good books by Brian Jacques, the Red Ball series, and a midnight anime called Wolf's Reign, my imagination was able to just run wild. Well, be imaginative, bad pun, I suppose. And as I found video games, these thoughts turn into actualities. Now I could play these characters. Now I could be these characters in the visual sense. I truly love video games and feel that they can bring you to worlds that you would never have thought of yourself. It's immersive, especially in the early days of the PlayStation and N64. There were some wild games back then. Quite a few of them had anthro characters. This grew more so as I drew, creating characters that were anthro. Back in 06, I registered on DA, posted my first scans of anthros, and thought there was a community of people whom all grew up as I did. I found there was, with the same imaginative thought, who lived thousands of miles, countries, and continents away from each other. I grew into it rather quickly mentally, but on the outside I rejected the notion of furry. I was a moderator in an online game of around 400 or so unique players. They found my DA and quickly came to the conclusion that I was a furry, PMing me pictures of all sorts of terror bad from the fandom. I laughed most of it off, gave me a bad first impression of what furries were. I knew furries. I did not know of a site where furries had a core. I never understood how a community could survive without the very least a place for the community to gather en masse. In 08, I came upon a chat. I didn't get into the chat open-minded but hesitant. After all, it was made for nothing but furries. I still go there to gay. I still go there today. I have people now that I literally can say I've known for years, this chat being purely furry-oriented. I quickly came upon Fur Affinity. Aw, yeah. I had found one of the heads of the community, a pillar, so to speak. While I do not post massive amounts of pictures, and while I don't seem involved, I still visit FA nearly every day. The journals, art, and replies are always enjoyable to read and look through. I find it funny. I know quite a few people now, more than I could have hoped otherwise. I just wonder how others have found this fandom. I don't believe my story is overly dramatic or really all that special. It's simple, almost normal to me. I think I can say everyone can relate to it at some point or another. I feel like we all have a story of how we found these places, and you don't just stumble upon it. For whatever reason, you create an account. For whatever reason, you join the chat. You immerse yourself into worlds of others and imaginations of those you'd never meet otherwise. This makes me feel like I'm a part of something. I kind of like it. Zell. There you go. You has a story.
That really kind of wraps it up.
Indeed it does, because we have heard from quite a few people tonight about their stories and what brought them to the furry fandom. Yay! So I think that was quite successful in terms of
topic-y-topic-ness.
Now I shall have to dig deep and think of another topic for next week.
And we need to think of and start getting stuff together for OklaCon in a couple weeks.
Yep.
Rub hands together maniacally.
Worst case, I mean, we're still doing our show at OklaCon, and you know, unfortunately, by the time this comes out, it's going to be too late to pre-reg. But hopefully, I think we've beaten you over the head that you should go to OklaCon.
It's fun.
Enough that you registered. But worst case scenario, Shiva and I are still going to do a show at the con. We have a couple people that are probably going to show up and help us with the show. And if you've been to our shows previous years, you can guess who they are. and we will run with it. You know. Hell or high water, there's going to be a show, and there's going to be a show. I mean, what else can I say? I cannot guarantee the quality or coherency thereof, but there will be a show at OklaCon.
And it's usually, I like the live shows, and I always like recording, well, if we happen to get Wolf and Horses, Ghosts, and all those guys to show up. Wolf is a hoot to have around.
He is a fun dude.
So,
God, I'm looking forward to the super sponsor soiree this year.
I wish I could get Thursday off, but I can't. So yeah. I just...
We're actually going up Thursday night. Well, like, well, Panther doesn't have Thursday off. He's just... We're just going up Thursday night after he gets off work.
Are you going to make the soiree?
It's on Friday, isn't it?
No, it's Thursdays.
Well, shit. Well, we'll figure it out. It's 3 hours away.
That's the only reason I couldn't... I didn't super sponsor because I couldn't make the soiree.
Huh. I'm pretty sure that we will make it up there.
One way or another.
One way or another. Panther's driving. We'll make it. So on that note, I think that's everything. We are not cast. We are not cast on
all kinds of FA. Places.
We are not cast on the Twitters. We are not cast on LJ, which I don't think we've really updated in a long time.
No.
Our website is foxstuffers.com or notcast.com. They go to the same place. Our email is notcast@foxstuffers.com. We record weekly at around 7 p.m. on Friday night. So you get your emails into us.
Well.
And they're in for the show.
So. Now, folks don't quite believe me, but we're also Pound Notcast on the IRC channel.
Yep, we are on irc.anthchat.net. Pound Notcast.
And they asked for a shout-out, so I said I'd give the
IRC. Yeah, I saw that you popped in today. I was like, wow, Shiva actually has an IRC client.
Well, okay, I've been playing around with it on my phone. I just never bother when
I was, like, I had, like, walked away, and then I came back, and you were in the room, and but right as I came back, I was like, oh, hi, Shiva, you disappeared. The Chiquette Ghost. It's Ghost, well, bro.
I don't know. My Wi-Fi at work gets really screwy, so I get disconnected a lot.
Mm. Well, other than that, the IRC channel requires a registered nick. That's not hard. You can look up how to register an IRC nick with Google. It's really simple. But that way, you have to actually be somebody that you can't just join and spam the channel.
Yes.
Because that used to happen from time to time.
People just get in and, you know,
and flood and... That was retarded back in the day.
I wondered why you guys switch from regular old to registered nick.
Because people are cunts.
Yes.
You have to control them somehow.
Fair enough. Okay.
All right. So on that note, good night.
And big balls.
Yay.